Well, what Brother Darren was talking about, I felt that today too. I was all done with my lesson and I was going to print it out so I could have some notes. And my printer wouldn't work. And gave up on me. Like, oh, not today. Of all days, why? I'm thankful I got the printouts for you guys. Tonight's lesson is from Brother Kuhn's book called Until He Comes, Sermons and Lessons on Communion. And so those of you that like to fill in the blanks, that's your paper. That was your gift for you tonight. And that one did actually get printed out. My notes, I have to practice figuring out how to work. Oh, you have a printer at home? Okay. Didn't even think about it. So I've got this PowerPoint going. And I haven't done a PowerPoint in a long time either, so it took me quite a while to put it together. And I was thinking, okay, I got it done. I got it good. And oh, thank you. Somebody up there got it up. Yay. And then it snapped away. So anyway, we are on Patience Street tonight. Learning about patience. Trying just to say, okay, God, it's okay. It's going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. No problem. So let me see. Where am I supposed to be? This one. Okay, I do think I'm ready. Before I jump into this, and oh, I can see their heads still moving around looking at the screen up there. Oh, there you go. Oh, and you can actually read it. Hey! That's happened before, too, where I get the print so little that it... can't see it. That might still happen later on tonight, but anyway, let's go ahead and pray before we get started. Lord Jesus, I do thank you, God, for an opportunity here to be in your house, to be with your people. This is your body here tonight, Jesus. You are our Father. You're the head of us all, Lord. And we've come together, Lord Jesus, to learn more about you, God, to be reminded again. We always have to be reminded about these things, Lord Jesus, how good you truly are to us. I pray, God, that you would help us, continue to help us through this night, Lord. We love you and thank you, God, for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So the communion we've been preparing for next week. Next week is our communion service. And I know many of you already know, you understand that the communion of the New Testament comes from the Passover of the Old Testament. So there's this foundation, the Passover that God instituted way back in Exodus. And the title, so tonight's our title is The Passover, the Old Testament Practice Becomes New Testament Fulfillment. That is so much of the Bible. The Old Testament is very important to us. James, would you go to the next slide, please? So starting out, this is not really a whole part of our lesson tonight, but this is just starting out. talking about Paul, when he went to the city of Corinth, and he started ministering to people there. Now, the city of Corinth had a bunch of Corinthians in it, and they were idol worshipers. Corinthians, they didn't have any Jewish background or anything. They were just really into idol worship. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about that, how Paul, He stayed there with them for about 18 months, a year and a half, and he kept teaching these people about, you know, they came to Jesus. Once he preached Jesus, they came, they got baptized, they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they had to start learning how to live for God. And that was one of the things that Paul kept coming back to. It's like in 1 Corinthians 10, oh, that was one of them I was going to write down. Can anybody find that real quick? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's see. Sword drill. Who can do it first? I might be able to get there. I'm getting there. Got it. Who else has got it? Anybody? Yay! Good, you got it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and in verses 16 and 17, this is what Paul was telling them. He said, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." So he's kind of getting on him a little bit that he's saying that you're kind of getting out of focus. You're not where you need to be with this. He's reminding them, Jesus is, he's the communion of blood and the communion of the bread. And then in verses 20 to 22, it says, "But I say that the things with which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?" So he's reminding them again, you know, you can't do both. If you started walking with the Lord, then walk with the Lord. Don't go back to your idle ways. Don't go back to those things that you were used to back then. You're a new creature. Walk with the Lord. So that was just a little sideline idea, but it's very foundational too. Paul is teaching them about the Passover. They didn't have the New Testament to read. They didn't know all about these things. So Paul was there teaching them about the Passover and how important it was and how Jesus became the fulfillment of it. Go to the next slide, please. We're just going to go through a real quick overview of the Passover, which is in your Bible. It's Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 28, verses 40 through 51, and Exodus chapter 13, verses 3 through 10. Oh, next slide. So anyway, I know a lot of you already know what the Passover is all about, but Paul would have been teaching them, saying, God's people were in Egypt for 430 years. They went to Egypt when Joseph was in charge and Pharaoh was friends with Joseph, and all of Joseph's family came into Egypt and everything was going really good. But then over time, as people started dying off. Joseph died, and then the Pharaoh died, and all those other leaders that really knew about the Israelites, they all got changed out or died. And then the Jews became slaves in Egypt. But God heard their cry and sent Moses for their deliverance. And by great miracles, you know, the 10 plagues that came, God sent those miracles that were shown before Pharaoh in Egypt. All that land knew that Moses' God was really very strong. He was something. He was amazing. But the last miracle that came through Egypt was the death of the firstborn in every house. every house in Egypt. But God always makes a way for his people. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. The Hebrews were instructed to put blood of the lamb on the doorpost of their homes, and then the death angel would pass over them. Such a simple idea, right? It's got a pretty plain definition for it. It's the Passover. So this is our first answer on your sheet. If you notice, it's red, sort of red. You can almost see it, right? Yeah, it shows up a little bit. That is your first answer on your sheet. He will pass over you. Thank God that he makes a way. Oh, he makes a way. So that was the original Passover when they left Egypt. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And after that, while they're now into the wilderness, God establishes not just a one-time Passover, but a feast of the Passover. And it wasn't supposed to be a one-time thing. This was going to be an annual event. It was going to be something that happened all the time now. Scripture or verses for that is Exodus chapter 12 and 13, Numbers chapter 9, Deuteronomy 16. All talks about how God was establishing this feast of the Passover. So the Passover was an annual event. The Passover is one of the major feasts of Israel. Passover is commemorated to this day. In fact, April 1st through the 9th is the Jewish Passover this year. They have been celebrating this for 3,500 years. That is a miracle. Anybody want to know that God is real? I've heard that this is a quote from many years ago. Some military people, high up military people, and one of the higher ones said, "How do you know that there's a God?" And the other military man said to him, All you have to do is look at Israel. Just think about, have you ever seen Israel on a map? How little they are in comparison to the rest of the world. And they're still there. God has protected them for over 3,000 years. They are God's people, and he has a plan for them. And thank God that he has grafted us into this through the New Testament. The Passover was a big thing. Everybody got your answers there? It was an annual event. It was one of the major feasts of Israel today. And it is even commemorated to this day. Praise the Lord. Now, in my studying, this one you can't really see. I'm just... That's why I put those four words on the side bigger. I'm going to read through this, though, because this is not from a Christian site. This is from a Jewish site. I was looking up Passover, of course, and what I found was their Haggadah. The Haggadah is their list of how to go through the Passover. Every time it comes around, they have an actual direction of things that are supposed to happen through the evening of the Passover. So this was kind of a sideline in the Haggadah. And it says that the Torah doesn't prescribe 4 cups of wine, but the rabbis did. And the Torah says that we should listen to our sages. But why 4 cups? So basically what they're saying is some of this stuff in the Seder and the Passover that they how they celebrate now isn't directly in the Bible, But their sages, their teachers, the ones over the years have set these things in order, and so they follow them. So during this Passover meal, they have 4 cups of wine. And a lot of questions all through the Passover night. They do questions. They're not afraid of questions. And we don't have to be afraid of questions either. God's not afraid of your questions. If you're really wondering about something, don't be afraid to ask the Lord about it. Don't be afraid to ask anybody. Just if you need an answer, God will make a way for that answer for sure. It goes on to say, the clue is in a passage in which God promises Moses that he's about to initiate the rescue operation from Egypt. So they quote, "So now, Moses, tell the Jewish people, I'm God and I keep my promises. So I'm about to extract you from the hardships of Egypt. I'm about to rescue you from laboring for those guys. I'm about to liberate you with an outstretched arm and major judgments of these people. And then I'm going to marry you as my people, and I will be your God." So this is that idea of the Passover. What they are going, every Passover, they remember these things that the Lord extracted them. He took them out of Egypt. He rescued them from their slavery. He liberated them to a new land. They got to go through the Red Sea into a new area. And then God promised that he would marry them. So those 4 words, extract, rescue, liberate, marry, the actual word is to take to me. So God would say, I'm going to take you to me. But that's the word that means marriage in the Hebrew. It means marriage. And that the order of Exodus and liberation for Jewish people, it's also those 4 stages of any person. This is why I really picked this portion out. It's also the 4 stages for any person who wants to get out of a rut and rise higher. We need to be extracted from our old ways. We need God to rescue us from the things that bring us down, liberate us, bring us to a new place. And he's going to marry us. He wants to be so close to us. Promises, God's promises are true. So thankful for that. Another thing from the Haggadah. What's the most important thing to have at a Seder? You probably don't even know what a Seder is, right? What's the most important thing to do at Passover? It's the person. It's the Jew that's there. The most important thing of the Passover is the Jew. Because we're the ones that God is reaching for. We're the ones that he set up the whole Passover for in the first place. It goes on to say that the matzah at your table didn't leave Egypt. The wine or the bitter herbs didn't. The lamb isn't still here. It's the Jew that's the only thing that's here and that's real. The Jew was the one that actually left Egypt. That's the one that God delivered. God delivered us. So they go on to say, once he or she is here, the matzah is the matzah that he took with him from Egypt. The bitter herbs are the bitterness of his slavery. The wine is the taste of freedom. And the lamb, now remember, this is a Jewish publication here. They say, and the lamb will have that soon also. So they haven't found their Messiah yet. They still think that their Messiah is on his way, that he's coming. And that's the day that we live in. The Jews are looking for their Messiah today. They think he's going to show up any day now. And we know, of course, that it's Jesus. Jesus came as the Messiah. He's going to come back one day. But the Jews, we are just on a precipice of God doing great and mighty things right now. The point of history that we're in is, it's just amazing. We all need to be close to Jesus. That's what I would say. Okay, this is that Seder plate. This is what they would have at their meal. And on this plate, they would have the shank of sheep or goat. I'm not going to try to pronounce all the Hebrew words here, but there's going to be the shank of sheep, a hard-boiled egg. There'll be lettuce, romaine lettuce, I believe it is. Horseradish. Who likes horseradish? Not me. My mom used to like it. There would be vegetables to dip on that plate, and there would be sweet mixed apple, pear, nut, and wine mixture. And then there would be a lot of matzah. A lot of matzah is the unleavened bread. When they left Egypt, they were not supposed to wait around for the bread to rise. They were just supposed to hurry up and cook it, even though it didn't rise. Bring your crackers with you. Next week at communion, we will be having matzah crackers also, the unleavened bread. I would like to mention with this, you can see that little picture there. In Jesus' time, I don't think they had all of these things. I think all that they had was the shank, the bitter herbs, and the matzah. As far as I can tell, those were the only things that they had for the Passover back then. So over hundreds of years, things have been added onto this plate for the enjoyment of those that are celebrating it. There's only two real primary elements of Passover. The two most important ones were the lamb, that's on your sheet, and the people of the Passover, those that are celebrating the Passover. Those were the most important things. Now, this is where we are going to go to Exodus chapter 12. Everybody got that? Those two, lamb and Passover? You should have that, right? We are going to look at some scripture. Exodus chapter 12. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't have that on there, I guess. Exodus chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Oh, thank you, Lord. I have a weird thing coming up on my screen. Oh, no. They want to make changes. No, not now. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Patience, patience, patience. If we go to Exodus chapter 12, starting at verse 1, I think we might have to actually get Bibles for this one. I hope somebody's got their Bible. Anybody that can help me that has your Bible with me? Exodus chapter 12. Okay, they've got it up there. Okay, we're going to go back and forth. Since they have it on the screen, I'm going to read the first one, and I'm going to ask you guys to read the second one, and then I'll read the third one. We'll go back and forth with this, okay? We'll try this. We can do it. So, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. For the lamb. So just trying to summarize that, everybody was supposed to get a lamb, but there were some households that were one or two people, they didn't need a whole lamb. So what they would do is they would gather together. Come on, neighbor, come on to my house. We can do this together. That's the way that we're supposed to be too, right? For those of our neighbors, for our family members. Come on, you can be with me. Come on to church with me. Come on. We're going to go see the Lord. Okay, so my next one, starting at verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6. Not as easy as you'd think, huh? Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Okay, in verse 9, I've got that. Eat not of it raw nor sodden and all at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. That's all the inner organs, pertinence. Verse 10, you guys. This is fun. Verse 11, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So this is the original Passover, where they were actually getting ready to leave Egypt. They had to be ready when it was time, when Moses was said, go, everybody go, it's time to go. They had to be ready. They couldn't be going around looking for their shoes. Where's my jacket? I don't know. I don't have it. They had to be ready to go. So you guys have verse 12. I am the Lord. Amen. That's what he said. He's going to do all this. He's going to pass through the land at night, and he's going to smite the firstborn. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, that's the clue. That's what God is looking for. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall... So there's that sentence of it making. God is planning this to go on again and again and again every year. To every generation, continuing on. It's not supposed to die with our grandparents or our parents. It's supposed to get passed on down to the next generation, and then the next, and the next. And it's been doing good. God has got his hand on it, because they've been doing it for 3,500 years, more than that, probably. So some of these things here. Did you catch any of the things that would typify Jesus about the Passover lamb? I know it was hard for us all to read that, I know, but there were similarities, types. The Passover lamb is a type. And I just realized my notes didn't show up. Oh, my. So anyway, the Passover lamb in the Old Testament had to be without blemish. He was supposed to be pulled out of the flock and watched over from the 10th to the 14th day of the month. He was being prepared for the Passover. It was a male of the first year of a sheep or a goat. And then it had to be roasted, and there were not supposed to be any bones to be broken of that sacrificed animal. And those are some of the things about Jesus. He became our lamb, the sacrifice for the sins of the world. He came prepared. He was being prepared for this. He was without blemish. He had no sin. And when he was on the cross, they did not have to break any of his bones. He became that Passover lamb for us. Praise God. Some different elements of the Passover. We had already pointed that out, that neighbors were invited to participate. It wasn't just supposed to be my four, no more. It was supposed to be a community type thing. The blood was supposed to be applied on the lintel and the two side posts. The lintel is being the top, and on the side, it was not supposed to be put on the threshold, though. It wasn't. Jesus' blood is not something we're supposed to be walking on. We're not supposed to walk over it. He covers us. And the blood was shed for this Passover. The goat, sheep was killed for that. There was blood that was shed for that. But this whole process would not work if they did not apply the blood to the doorpost. Because when that angel came through and there was no blood covering, no protection there, the angel would still come into that household, even if they were Jews, if they were being rebellious Jews, and I ain't doing that, what that Moses guy told us, that's all craziness, I ain't doing it. Well, then they suffered the consequences of it. But the blood was shed, and then it needs to be applied. That happens for us too. Jesus died, but we need to have his blood applied through repentance and baptism in his name and in water, and then being filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to apply those things in our life. They did prepare, and then they ate. They were ready to leave. They were ready to leave. That's something that we can be looking forward to, too, that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming. Keep looking for him in the skies. Keep looking. And be ready every day, because none of us knows our hour. That's for sure. None of us knows our hour. Another thing that they had to do an element about the Passover that was really important was that they had to get all the leaven out of their house. They would go through their kitchen area and they would sweep everything out. I was looking at some of it for what they get ready for today, and they said, yeah, you need to go into your office and wherever, make sure there's no crumbs there, no cake, no anything that would have leaven in it. Oh, and check your couch too, wherever you might be eating any snacks or anything. That's what they have to do today. They have to go around and clean up all those crumbs. No leaven. The leaven was a symbol of sin for us in the New Testament. We don't want any leaven in our life. We don't want that sin. We want Jesus to clean that, or we clean it out for him. Then there was the future feasts of Passover. It was supposed to be a continual thing. God told them at it was going to be observed in the month of Nisan. It was only Israelites that could eat the Passover, unless if they were strangers, servants, or slaves who chose to be circumcised, then they could eat the Passover also. God did make a way for that. He didn't put up a bridge for that nobody else could come in but the Jews. God made a way for the Gentiles to even come in. The Passover feast had to be eaten just in one house. You couldn't go take part of it and go visit somebody else. It was all supposed to be in that one house. They were all supposed to be clean, according to Numbers 9:13. They weren't supposed to have any ceremonial uncleanness in their life. God made a second opportunity for the people that if you missed the first date for some reason, if people were out of town on the day of Passover, you know, they didn't have planes to hurry up and fly home. No, it was going to take a while if they couldn't get back for Passover. Well, then God would make a second day that they could come and God would accept them even on that second day. Israel was to observe the Passover in the place where God placed his name. It was supposed to be right there where God was. So Passover was a part of Israel's departing from Egypt. That's your next space there. God instructed that the Passover would be an annual feast. The Feast of Passover included instructions for inclusion and exclusion. There were some that he would not allow to come and participate of, but he also graciously accommodated life when there were complex situations that happened. God would graciously make a way for them too. And remember, those two main factors were the Passover lamb and the people who participated in the Passover. Again, the Passover lamb is a type of Christ. The Old Testament Passover history was an example and are significant for the New Testament church today. Don't let anybody tell you that, oh, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. We're living under grace. We only need the New Testament. No, 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 no. The Old Testament is our foundation, what God used to put a foundation for the things that were going to come. It was the Old Testament, a will. He had a plan, the old plan, the Old Testament, the old will became the new plan, the New Testament, the new will. The things that typify Christ as a lamb, he takes away our sin and provides the basis for the Lord's Supper. That's what Jesus did. He set up the Lord's Supper, the communion, what we call communion in the New Testament, the Lord's Supper. That's another one of your blanks there. So in the Old Testament, Passover becomes the New Testament communion. If we understand more about the Passover, it'll give us understanding of our communion, which, again, we're having next week. The lamb was killed in the Old Testament Passover. The lamb was killed to shed blood to cover the believers around the doorpost. That sheep was killed for the blood to cover the believers. In the New Testament, Christ was crucified to shed blood to cover the believers. And the only way that we can get that blood applied to our lives again is to be baptized in his name, because he's the one that died for us. Of course, come to him in belief and repentance and then be baptized in his name, receive his spirit. Of course, the communion service commemorates the death of Christ, and we can view communion as the fulfilling of the Passover. God didn't mean for them to be the two things. He wanted the Passover to become the communion, because the communion is where we actually know Jesus. We know him now. The Jews haven't come that far. There's a lot of them that have. Thank God. There's a lot of Jews that have accepted Jesus. They know him, but for the most part, they don't accept him yet. Some 10 specific accounts of the Passover, places in the Bible that the Passover was actually talked about. Of course, in the early Jewish history, it was the original Passover in Egypt. And then they celebrated it in the wilderness. And then in the Promised Land, once they got into the Promised Land, the Passover was also established there. And then, three different times during the time of kings, when there were kings in Israel. King Hezekiah, he assembled the people together in Jerusalem for a Passover. He brought them all together and said, we need to get back to the things of God. He saw it in the Bible, in the Torah, that they had to follow these things. And he says, we need to get everybody back into this. And the same thing with King Josiah many years later. He commanded the people to keep the Passover. He told them in 2 Kings 23, he commanded them to do it. And then Zerubbabel, he was a leader that led restoration of the whole nation back to the Passover. Those were all in the books of the Kings. And it's nice to know that even back then, there were revival-minded leaders. These Hezekiah, Josiah, and Zerubbabel all had the idea that we need to get back to God. We need to do it His way. We've gotten away from the things of Him. We need to get back to Him. And then the other four times in the Bible is during the time of Jesus' life. When he was a young boy, the Bible says that he was 12 years old, that he went to the Passover. Any of you that are parents, can you just imagine that experience? You go to the big city and you're having the wonderful Passover get together, the festivities and everything, and you're with family, you're with friends, all the trusted people that you have, and everybody starts, yeah, it's time to go home, and you all just start going the way, and you figure, well, my child must be with so-and-so. I'll catch up with him later. And then by the time they stop for the night, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? That's... I've heard quite a few different preachers say this about how they lost God. They lost God. It's like, oh no. So that was the Passover. They found him in the temple talking with the sages, the leaders, the Levites, and all those people. He was talking with them, expounding with them. And that was the first time. And then the next time, it was during Jesus' ministry in John chapter 2. That was the first Passover that was mentioned. And then in John 6, the second Passover during Jesus' ministry. And then it was the third Passover, the last one, in Matthew 26, where Jesus actually instituted the communion service at that one. It was at that third one that Jesus said that he was going to be with them. He was going to be with them during that Passover time. And that is when he changed everything there. That it wasn't going to be all focused on the lamb anymore, or the sheep, or the goat as the sacrifice. But he told them, this is my blood, and this is my body, and this is the New Testament, he said. This is going to be the New Testament that I'm establishing now. Of course, those poor disciples, they didn't know what in the world he's talking about. They couldn't figure out. I mean, we're at this wonderful festivity time, and you're talking about death and all these different things. Master, what are you talking about? Of course, they didn't dare ask him at that time, but of course, as time went on and they could see the crucifixion and his suffering and everything, and then him being raised up out of the grave, praise God, then he showed them understanding. Then they could understand these different things. Passover and communion are really times for us to remember. That was the Passover to the Jews is a whole time. Every year they're supposed to remember it was God that took us out of Egypt. It was God that brought us here. It's God that's given us blessings. They'll go through the Psalms And just read through the Psalms of how good God is and how he's been the provider, how he's been the one to keep them. And for us, the communion is the same thing, that we are supposed to go and remember what the Lord has done for us. He has done so much for us. He died for our sins, and he made a way for us to live with him forever. In the record of the Old Testament Passover experiences, talking about those all those times where the Passover was mentioned, there was always a revival or some degree of spiritual renewal involved in the Passover that was reported. There always some sort of revival. Remember the King Hezekiah and Zerubbabel and Josiah, they were all trying to bring revival back to the Jews, getting back to the Word of God, getting back to God's ways. We're seeing it to happen today too. We are seeing things happen. Just two years ago now, the revival just breaking out on the college campuses. That's an amazing thing. You know, they might not be coming to truth yet, but God is opening up their understanding. There's this spiritual renewal, this understanding. You just look at the world and you go, something's going on. Something big is about to happen. And that's what the Passover and communion are all about, getting us back into focus with what God has planned. Next one. Passover is a time to reflect on God's... Oh, that was way too little. God's compassion. Going back to the Jews and their Passover time, they're supposed to reflect on God's compassion because he heard their cries in Egypt. He heard them. And then he didn't just hear them and say, oh yeah, you guys take care of yourself. I think you'll work it out okay by yourself. No, he sent saving grace. He instituted a plan for their salvation. He was going to be the one to go in there and save them and bring deliverance. Another thing that the Jews are supposed to reflect on is that deliverance that God brought them out of bondage by his outstretched arm. How many times that it's been mentioned about his outstretched arm. And the Jews in this Haggadah, they say it many times that God is going to deliver us by his outstretched arm. What did Jesus do on the cross? He outstretched his arms. That's what he did. And it's going to come to a time where Jesus is going to show himself to them and they're going to see the nail prints in his hand. Where did that come from? From my friends and how God outstretched his arms for them and for us. And another thing that they're supposed to reflect on is the love of God. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 7, God says, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. That portion right there that says, I will take you to me for a people. That's being so close. He wants to bring us close to him. He's a God that wants to be in communion with us. He doesn't want us to be far off. He wants us to be in communion with him. That little picture on the side is from that Haggadah that I was talking about. And it's supposed to be kind of an abstract of the parting of the Red Sea here. And in the little tiny print that you can't see up there, it says, in every single generation, every person should see themselves as though they actually were liberated from Egypt. This is part of what they remind themselves every year, the Jews. Every single generation. Now, this applies to us, too. We have to remember that. Every single generation, every person should see themselves as though they actually were liberated from Egypt. Put yourself in that time where they were slaves and they were actually getting to leave. Goodbye, Egypt. Here we go, God. Let's go to a new place. We have to remember that. We have to see ourselves. Remember where God brought us from. Remember where God brought us from. And there again, the Lord's Supper, that communion, the same types of things that we're supposed to do. That's the last part of your page, I believe. When we come for communion, for the Lord's Supper, what we're going to do is we're going to have a time of remembrance. We're supposed to think on that fellowship with the Lord. We have to self-examine our own hearts to see, you know, am I in right communion with the Lord? Have I swept out all the leaven out of my life? Am I really preparing myself for the things to come? And then we know that there's also a celebration with the Lord's Supper. God doesn't want us to be tearful all the time. He wants us to celebrate and to think about his coming. When he comes, it's going to be such just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Everybody can stand with me. You should be filled out all the blanks there, I believe. So this is the last page of the Haggadah that this is what they say every year at the last part of their Passover. The Jews are looking for their Messiah to come. The real Jews, not the Messianic Jews that believe in Jesus, but those real Jews that think the Messiah hasn't come yet. It hasn't come yet. He hasn't come yet. But they know that he's getting close. I've been hearing things, some news reports and stuff about how the Jews really, they have their things prepared. They are prepared for their sacrifices. They're getting prepared for all of these things. When the Messiah comes, they're going to be prepared. So the time for us now is to get really close to Jesus, because we as Christians, we're looking for Jesus to come again. We know that he came once and that he is coming again, and he's going to show himself to the whole world. And anyway, the Jews this year, at the very end of their celebration, they're going to say, next year in Jerusalem. They're going to be expecting their Messiah to be there. And when Jesus comes, we're going to be able to be there with him. My Savior, my Jesus, you're coming back. Let's just go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for the promises of you, God. Oh, how great you are, Lord Jesus. Lord, you put these processes together way back thousands of years ago, and now we can see how these things have become fulfilled through you, God. You've come to fulfill each and every part of it, my God. Oh, Lord, and that we can know your name, that we can have your name on our lives, Jesus, that blood applied to our life, my Jesus, your spirit to renew us again, my God. Oh, you are a wonderful God, wonderful God, wonderful God. Oh, I love you. I thank you. I praise you, Jesus. Yes, my God. Yes, we're looking for you, my God. Lord, preparing our hearts, God, to be with you, to be ready when you come, my God. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus, to examine ourselves, God. Anything that's being a weight in our life, anything that's holding us back, God, help us, Lord Jesus, to set it aside, God, and just to put you in that place, Lord. Oh, I love you. I thank you. I praise you, my Jesus. Prepare us, God. Help us, Lord, to be in that mindset this week, God. Lord, to think about anything that we need forgiveness for, anybody that we need to forgive, any of those sins, any of those crumbs of leaven that might be in our life, God. Help us, Lord, to notice it and to be willing, God, to change, and we'd be willing, God, to set it aside. Oh, we love you and thank you, God, for your wonderful love. Oh, how you want to marry us, Jesus. You want to